Amen. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. A man wrote in on the website a couple of weeks ago and said that the material there had been a blessing to him, and he was teaching his children, trying to teach them the right way and things. But he said, "I have a question." He said, "What about dancing? You know, sometimes dancing is mentioned in the Bible, and what do I teach my children about it?" So we'd like to look at that tonight. And it was interesting. As I mentioned, on this new company that's hosting our website gives all this data they collect, and it was surprising. The number one thing that had been clicked on was a question, even more than anything else. And it also lists what people type in, how they're led to the website, what little phrase they type in that brings them there. And the number one reason that people found the website, they were asking questions about God's mercy. And it just surprised me. And we'll probably be talking more about that in the days to come, too. But I was surprised that it was questions, people looking for answers. And we have the book that gives the answers, and it surprised me once again. I thought probably the number one reason people was finding us was for gospel tracts, but the number one reason they're searching for answers, questions. So Proverbs chapter 30, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. We thank you that your word does have the answer. And Father, as we consider the different generations and the questions that generations ask, and sometimes it's the same question. And so, Lord, I pray that you lead and guide our study tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. Talking about the different generations and sometimes how fierce it gets, and we know that's the way it's going to be in the end times. So there are generations that rise up that are godly and not so godly. I just ordered a book recently, and it kind of traces the history of our nation and what we've done, different responses we've done to different tragedies, and whether it's war or other issues that come along. And it's been interesting to see how our nation answers, or the answer they find, whether it's right or wrong. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There was a generation that did not need to ask this question. They knew it was wrong. My grandparents' generation did not need an answer to this question we're looking at tonight. They already knew. They already knew. And in that generation, when they got saved, they just knew the answer was no. We don't do that anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, that generation didn't need to ask the question, okay, if I get saved, is it right to continue dancing or not? Because their lives were involved in that. The drinking and the dancing, and they knew what went along with it. And they didn't have to answer. They didn't have to ask this question because they knew the answer. But just like God allowed the next generation to rise up in the children of Israel. I mean, the one generation went out of Egypt. But he allowed them not to drive everyone out. And one of the reasons given was so the next generation would experience war and know what it was like. Know what it was like to fight for something. In this generation, we don't know what it's like to fight. And I'm talking about the faith, not just fighting other countries. I'm talking about the faith. Usually when we get an order from overseas, probably 80% of the time, they believe salvation can be lost. And we're talking about Bible doctrine is not being taught in so many nations. So many things, biblical principles are not being taught. And so when my grandparents got saved, they turned from lives of alcohol and the dance. And so when I grew up, I never knew them to be dabbling in any of that. They just knew it was wrong. That was part of the old life. They didn't want. You see, they knew how many marriages were destroyed on the dance floor. We have a generation rising up that just doesn't get it. I mean, they're dancing in the churches again. They don't understand the battle out there. Notice also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we're getting a whole new generation rising up and saying, well, what is wrong with this? What is wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. A little bit in moderation. See, that's their thinking. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove what? All things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from what? All appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I've had people say, well, what about square dancing? What is wrong with that? And I just have to chuckle inside because I know the way they dress. And, you know, they get these old guys out there, not everyone that square dances is old, but, I mean, a lot of times the square dancing clubs or whatever they call them, a lot of times they are old-timers. And, I mean, you know, the ladies have to wear these ballooned-out dresses with, I hope I have the names right, layers of petticoats, or you get the idea if I'm saying the wrong word. But, and, you know, the old geezers have to, you know, swing them a little bit and tip up those dresses so they see all those petticoats, you know, and give their old heart a stress test, you know, something like that. You know, so no, square dancing is not innocent. And, you know, I'm just trying to be honest with you. It's not innocent either. So notice also with me in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. It's all, the whole thing. It's geared for lust. It's geared for lust. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. My grandparents, I never heard them question that. I never seen them go back. And I guess that's what bothers me about today. We see so many professions of faith that they can't give up those things. I recall one of my aunts one time. My uncle, this uncle, and this aunt never went to church normally, but she came when there was an evangelist at church. She went forward, made a profession of faith, but she never came regularly after that, hardly ever came, maybe Christmas to see the children in plays or whatever. But one thing she said, she says, I love my dancing. I could never give it up. And I mean, we wasn't saying to her, you've got to give this up. It was, she knew it was wrong. But she says, I just love dancing. I just can't give it up. 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Love not what? The world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, That right there would cut out all modern dancing, right there. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The reason they didn't have to answer, even ask this question, is because their lives was wrapped up in that type of a life. And so when they got saved, they knew it was wrong. That is, my grandparents, they knew it was wrong. And but we've got generations now. It's like with in my family, both of my grandparents got saved, different churches, both Baptist churches, both sides of my grandparents. They both got saved in adulthood, not as children. All four grandparents. They'd been in the world, and when they got saved, their lives were transformed. And they never, all of my years, they never was going back and forth, back and forth. They all those years were faithful in God's house. So they trained their children all in church. Every one of my aunts and uncles, as children, made a profession of faith. But my aunts and uncles did not show forth that same steadfastness. Some of them became hit and miss in church. They were not faithful in church. Some of them veered off and they left the Baptist church and veered off in other things, other churches. And so then I follow from there. I see the gradual departure of some of my aunts and uncles. And the one uncle I was talking about, as soon as he got out of high school, it was, I'm out of here. And he was out of church totally. But then my grandparents' grandchildren, which would be my generation, I'm sure there are more of my generation that don't go to church at all than go. And of those that go, I know of one of my cousins that goes to a Baptist church. If there are any more, I'm not aware of it. Out of all of my aunts and uncles, one. I don't even know, I should have, before I did this message, I should have counted up how many cousins I have. But when I stop and think, and many times as I pray for all of them, they're all on my prayer list, and I think, Lord, we are a sinful people. And I think of what God said about his people Israel. He said, what more could I have done? But they turned away from me. And couldn't tell you how many times while I've been praying, and I've said to the Lord, what could you have done more for our family? Nothing. Those two sets of grandparents got saved. They got into churches that preached the truth, true doctrine. And they raised all their children faithfully going to church. But what happened? Some of their children got away, and the grandchildren, oh, one. All I know of is one that goes to a Baptist church. How sad. And so as I'm praying, Lord, we deserve judgment. I mean, what more can I say? We deserve judgment. But we pray for mercy. We pray for mercy. And what must God think? Here were two couples. Different churches, but got saved, and then raising their children. I mean, trying to raise them the right way, and it just, what a sad thing. And so, it's no wonder today the fall of Baptist churches, and even in some Baptist churches, they actually teach their children. They actually have choreography classes. They actually have dancing classes. And I just think, oh me, oh my. My grandparents knew better than that. They didn't even have to ask this question. But what happens? You get further removed from people who are actually saved out of those things. And the Bible says, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That's our problem. If we've never been out dabbling in that sin, too often that sin, we only see the enticing side of it. We don't see the bad side of it that our grandparents did see and did experience. Like Cornerstone University. It used to be Grand Rapids Baptist Bible College. Well, the Bible come out, and then Baptists come out. And then, I don't know, some years ago I was reading, and there was a girl, I don't know what city she was in, but she came back to school, and on the semester break, she had gone to a nightclub. Now, there wasn't any such thing as Facebook back then. But, I mean, people spill their whole lives, I guess, on Facebook now. I mean, it's like they should call that the gossip column. I mean, it's like everybody spills everything. And no, I don't have a Facebook account, and I don't look. I've never looked at Facebook, but well, actually, I have looked at when people have had it up, but I don't have a Facebook account. But anyway, I mean, now I read about businesses when they're hiring people, often will look on Facebook at the person who's applying for a job, and they'll see if they're on Facebook and see what they're really like. And some people haven't been hired because of that, because they see what they're really like, and they say, no, I don't want this person. So this was before Facebook, but somehow this girl who was attending Cornerstone had been to a nightclub on the semester break, and she come back, and she, you know, she just must have talked about it, but it come out anyway, and so it was a big thing. And I don't know whether they expelled her. I don't remember the details. Maybe some of you do remember the details, what happened. But anyway, she fought, and it was, I think it was 2 or 3 years later, she fought and fought and fought for the college to change that policy. And she won. They finally changed. Okay, students, you know, are not barred from going to those places. And then, of course, you know, the more recent history is about allowing the professors to drink alcohol if they want. And so I think my grandparents didn't need to ask these questions. My grandfather, in fact, maybe both of them, but my grandpa Rector actually graduated from Grand Rapids Baptist Bible College, or the Institute part of it. When it first started, he went there nights and for 4 years and graduated from it. And back in those days, you wouldn't even bring up the subject of, is it okay to dance? Dr. David Otis Fuller would have put you straight. Or if you said, is it okay to drink liquor? He would have put you straight. I remember the first time I met him, I think they had special meetings down at Wealthy Street, and I went with the Verbergs and my wife. My first meeting with Dr. David Otis Fuller, I think, left an indent on my chest. I mean, seriously, we met him out in the hall, and he did, with that finger, young man, are you saved? And I mean, he... You know, he got his point across, and he didn't beat around the bush at all. He just told it like it was. So in those days, if you would have asked questions that the answer was obvious, you would have known by the time he got through telling you. So we're asking these questions. Why? Because we have a generation that has risen up that, in many cases, well, like my case, a generation of godly grandparents who tried to teach their children the right way. So their children tried to protect their children from the world. So I never went to a school dance. If you were to ask, can you dance a certain dance? I would say, no, I can't dance any dance. I don't know. I don't know the steps. My dad would have never allowed me When I was growing up, my dad just would have never let me do that things. He protected me from that. And kids at school, are you going to take anyone to the dance? And I wish I would have had a biblical answer, but all I could say is my dad won't let me go to dances. But I'm thankful at least I had that to hold on to, that he protected me from that. And thankfully, then as I grew, then 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Now it comes up. Okay, I've been raised in this atmosphere where I can't do certain things that a lot of children at school could. Now it comes, I grow up and I have to prove all those things. Okay, were they right? Is it right or wrong to dance? Is it right or wrong to drink liquor? Is it right or wrong to chew tobacco or smoke it? And so, with all these things, I mean, is it right or wrong to take up an offering? Do you realize Baptist churches are accused of just being greedy? That's why they take up an offering so often. That's what some people think. Is it right or wrong to baptize in a tank or a body of water, to place all the way under? Or is sprinkling okay? Is pouring okay? Is it scriptural to have a song leader? Is it script? Some churches don't think so. Is it scriptural to have instruments? Some churches think it's worldly, unscriptural to have instruments. And so, with all these things, as I learned, oh, some people don't think this is right. What does the Bible say? Prove all things. And so, I found out, you know what? They did use music, they did use a leader of the song. They didn't appear before the Lord empty. And with each of these things, I was thinking, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be raised in a home where they showed me the truth, but thank you that from the Bible, I can prove one way or another. Is this right or is this wrong? Because if young people don't come to that point and prove all things, there's a very strong possibility they'll forsake those things and they'll go a different route. So we've got to prove all things. So with that said, let's go to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 there. And we'll not get through nearly all of them tonight. Maybe one, maybe a couple that deal with dancing. King David danced. We'll not get to that one tonight, but we'll talk about it. What about when he danced? What about the last couple chapters of Psalms that talk about dancing to the Lord? We'll try to hit them all, but Exodus 15, verse 19. Exodus 15, 19. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon him. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with what? Dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So they're sitting down, but they're excited. They've just come down through the Red Sea on dry land. They get down the other side. God closes the sea on them. They're all dead. And I mean, Israel's rejoicing. I mean, can't believe it. So here, Miriam goes out and she leads. She has a timbrel in her hand. So she has an instrument for music in her hand. And she leads the ladies in dances. Okay, what can we learn about this? Well, one thing is it was only women dancing. It was not like the modern dances of today. In high school, when I was in high school, I guess they had slow dances and they had faster dances. What about slow dancing with opposite gender? Well, many times when they're doing slower dances with opposite gender, they're in each other's arms. So if you'd hold your place here and turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll already see a red flag about that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And let me just say this. This was long before they had the modern dirty dancing. Well, let me just say this. All dancing, where you are embracing someone to whom you're not married, is dirty dancing. It's dirty dancing. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And this has the idea of embracing, if you look up the word. Not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So this idea of embracing, touching a woman in that sense, is wrong. And it tells you why, verse 2. To avoid fornication, don't do that. To avoid temptation to immorality, don't do that. So, as I mentioned, all slow dancing, it might not have a rock beat to it, but all slow dancing where a man and a woman are in each other's arms is dirty dancing. It's wrong. So you'll notice back here in Exodus 15, this dancing that Miriam was doing, it was all ladies. It was nothing like modern dancing. And let me just say that I have not seen people do what they call today dirty dancing. But I don't have to see it to know that it's bad. And I assume that today's dirty dancing is probably done to rock music. Like I say, I'm assuming that because I haven't seen it done. So whether it's slow dancing where people are embracing or fast dancing to rock music, it's like with Elvis. If you do a little research on Elvis, the first time he appeared on TV, and I think it was on maybe the Ed Sullivan Show, wherever it was, they would not show him from the waist down. And you know why? Because of his immoral, suggestive moves that he made when he sang. That's quite amazing, isn't it? That TV wouldn't even show him from the waist down at first because it was so immorally suggestive how he moved. Boy, it's too bad TV kept moving in the wrong direction. Wow. But it did. Whether it's the slow embracing type dancing or whether it's today's dirty dancing to rock music, whether they even touch or not, which I'm sure they do in their dirty dancing, but even if they don't, even if it's a rock music dancing where they're standing a little bit away from each other, their moves are still geared for lust. It's all dirty dancing. It all comes under that category. This here, what you have is ladies dancing for joy. More of a twirling around, and we'll deal with that with David. It was not immorally suggestive movements, but more of like children jumping for joy, dancing for joy. It is nothing like today's dance, modern dance, nothing at all. So no one can ever come to Exodus 15 and say, hey, dancing is okay. Miriam did it. Okay. Well, let's go to one other one. Might not be able to get all the way through this one tonight, but we'll at least start it. We was actually here this morning, Exodus 32. If there's any chapter in Exodus that to which your Bible should fall open, it should be this one, Exodus 32. We're here often, it seems like, today. But we read a lot of this morning, and so I'm going to try to summarize it here. But in verse 19, Exodus 32, 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the what? Dancing. And Moses, what? Anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a what? Sin upon them. Moses immediately knew and said it. These people are sinning. A great sin. Aaron, what did they do to you that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And you may say, well, it was just the golden calf. Well, we already know, we've seen this passage so many times, we know the music was different. It was wild music because verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of what? War in the camp. So the music was different. Now, all these contemporary Christian musicians say today, the music is neutral. It's just like a pipe, but it's just neutral. The words are the only thing that's important. Well, we know this was a different sound. And they, to this different sound, they were doing different things. They were dancing. And if you back up to verse 6, we know what kind of dance this was. Because the Bible says in verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. We know what kind of dancing this was. This was men and women dancing. They ate and they drank, and they rose up to play. And we know what that type of music and dancing led to because of verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were what? Naked. For Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. So, it was different music. Joshua thought it was a war. It was wild music. Verse 6 told us it was different worship than normal. Because remember verse 5 said, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. This was a new kind of worship. Verse 5, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Well, what were you doing? Verse 6, well, they rose up early on the morrow. I can't help but think of all these early church services. Now, and originally, in some churches, they started having two services because they needed the room. They didn't have money to build, and so they had more than one service, but It's interesting, at the least, to say in verse 6, they rose up early on the morrow. For some reason, they were really excited to get to church. Why? Well, because they offered their peace offerings and brought them, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They knew today was going to be different. The music was different. Their worship was different. I mean, they were actually excited to go to church that day because they were going to play. They were going to play. It makes me think, this week I received, and actually it's from the company that we pay a fee to be able to reproduce music. It's a copyright licensing organization. And sad to say, I don't know of any of these organizations that are not charismatic type organizations, because those were the ones who started breaking all the copyright laws by showing the music all up on a screen instead of hymn books. And they were breaking copyright laws by doing that. And so who knows how it all come about, but that seems to be the type of organization that's running this. All these things. And so the one guy tells about, he's been on a missions trip to Ghana or Uganda, one of the two places, and he's telling about it, and at 5:30 in the morning he hears these loud drums. Well, and he's excited about it. It's little Christian children on the mission field. 5:30 in the morning, they're up pounding away on those drums, loud, singing praise choruses. And of course, this guy is just thrilled with it. It's kind of like when they laid the foundation for the second temple. The old men were crying. And he couldn't tell the difference between the crying and the shouting. Because the old men had seen the original temple in its glory. And then they saw the new temple, and what a contrast. So on one hand, they're excited that a temple is being built, but on the other hand, they're not too excited because they see the glory has departed. And even though God would glorify later temples, but, and so all this is going over in my mind, and I'm thinking, you know what, when I was a boy and I saw missionary slides, I never, ever saw the churches using drums. Never, ever. You see, that was one thing when the missionaries went, they taught them, listen, that's part of your devil worship, those drums. You need to forsake that. Another thing I didn't see, which I see today, was the way they're dressed. Or maybe I should say, the way they're undressed. Missionaries today don't seem to be teaching those people that God wants them to dress modestly. Now missionaries go there with the drums. It's that same demonic beat that they're using, and they call it praise music. And it just breaks my heart. And so, is God thrilled? I mean, the disciples told Jesus, come and see the temple. Look at all these great buildings. What did Jesus say? Wow, guys, this is neat. No, as we saw this morning, he drove them out of the temple because of what they were doing in the temple. They were buying and selling. How many churches have bookstores and who knows what else they, well, let me back up a little bit. This note I got from this Christian licensing organization, the guy was talking about, okay, on the mission field versus back here. And back here, he's talking about being in the church and the loud music is all up here. And he says, down there, are people sipping their lattes? Is that what you call them? Lattes? Lattes. Okay. See, I'm so far out of it. You know, lattes. So he's having deja vu. You know, he's going back and forth, the mission field. And what his whole point was is, wow, on the mission field, it's the kids that are beating the drums and singing the praise music at 5:30 in the morning. And he says, but in America, all of us are sipping on our coffee down there. Well, all the noise is up here. And he's kind of saying, you know, it's kind of got all professional. And he says, it's the people that need to be worshiping the Lord. Well, that's true. But you know, the contemporary movement is all geared to the professional. It always has been. It started in churches with the canned music, with recorded music. That's where it started. Long before Baptist churches had drums on their platform, they had drums up there. Right there. It was kind of miniature drums on cassette tape for, that's where it started. And it finally got louder and louder and louder up there. And so they thought, hey, you might as well get it here. And so that's what they did. That's what they did. So this guy's lamenting a totally different thing than I'm lamenting. I lament them both, the situations. That little children on the mission field are not being taught right from wrong anymore. And, of course, in America, it's a long ways off. But so this... Don't let anyone ever take you to to Exodus 32 and defend dancing, because this dancing was with wild music. They were taking their clothes off, verse 25. They were naked. And Moses was not happy. Wow, he didn't come down from the mountain and say, all right, Joshua, let's join in with the praise music. And can you just see Moses start dancing around and Joshua start dancing around? And all right, man, wow, you have really gotten the spirit since we've been gone up there. Wow, we're kind of out of touch, I guess. You know, we just been up there on the mountain, haven't had anything to eat for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know, I just thought, you know, the glory of God was awesome up there, but wow, what a party down here. I don't think God's quite so happy. No, Moses didn't like the party atmosphere because he had seen the holiness of God. So these are just two of many instances of dancing in the scripture, and we'll try to cover each one of them. But this here, Exodus 32, is like the modern dance. It's got the wild music. It's got the immodesty, and that's always the way the dancing leads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, the perfect, pure Son of God, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And Father, as we think back on the early church, and as before that, before the New Testament, back to the Old Testament, Father, we find it interesting that we never, ever see drums used by God's people, even though they were well known and in existence. Never once in Old or New Testament ever using the drums. And Father, I pray that you would help us as we look at this matter of dancing, just to clearly see and to be able to prove all things, to prove that in those instances when God's people danced, it was nothing remotely like today's modern dances. Help us to be able to see it, to prove it, and not to dabble in the wrong things. Lord, we know where modern dances lead. They lead to lust, they lead to immorality, and they've led to many, many broken homes, broken marriages. So, Lord, help us to stand, and having done all, to stand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.